Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. This election season, we are inviting the major candidates officially running for governor to make their case to you, the listener. So today we hear from Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey. She joined us earlier today to talk about her campaign. We started by asking her what her 16-year-old self would say to her now about Maura Healey running for governor.
Probably what happened. Look, you know, I grew up in a little town in Seacoast, New Hampshire. My folks are from Newburyport. But early on, you know, my mom in particular was really involved in community, whether starting the Historical Society or being involved in Grange or setting up our first brownie troop. And I think from there, Tiziana, I learned the importance of caring for community. I'm also the oldest of five, and growing up with a single mom for a long time, we sort of also learned how to take care of and the importance of taking care of one another. I ended up, after a brief stint playing pro basketball overseas after college, going to law school because I wanted to fight to make life better for people, to pursue justice and fairness and help out those who are vulnerable. That's what led me to law school. It's what led me to the Civil Rights Division in the Attorney General's office. It's what led me to run as an unlikely and an unknown candidate back 7 years ago. And it's the way I've tried to lead this office as the people's lawyer.
Is there a moment? Let's go back then. You mm-hmm. talk about your mom being a single mom, being dedicated to service. You had to have her back as a kid. I'm the youngest. I know what my oldest sister did for us, and she had two parents. Where's that moment where you realized the way you had to have your mom's back and the way she had her community's back that told you that's who I need to be?
Well, you know, I remember a couple of things. One, I was a little girl and I was laying down at the kitchen sink with my legs across the stovetop, and she was washing my hair. And I told her I'd heard about this thing called brownies, and we didn't have a brownie troop, but next thing you know, my mom had started the brownie troop in town. I remember when my mom sold her wedding ring to pave half a basketball court out behind our farmhouse so that we would have a place to go every day. And, you know, I spent a lot of time out there on the courts. I think about the time, you know, that I spent, she would get up to take care. She did, she cared for people in the morning as a nurse before she then went off to do school nursing. And, you know, seeing her get up and leaving the house at 6 o'clock in the morning to go and take care of someone before she'd come back and make sure we had breakfast and we're off to school, it made it pretty easy for me later on to get myself out of bed and go and waitress in the early morning or in the evening in between coaching clinics and basketball workouts all through high school and college. And, you know, these are just lessons that you learn about teamwork, about hard work, about working with different kinds of people and, you know, just trying to do the best you can. And God knows I haven't been perfect and, you know, have any number of flaws and failings. I am lucky, though, that I grew up with a mom who had a spirit of, I think, just sort of instilling these things in us without us, of course, ever knowing or beginning to appreciate it until now. And you look back in later years with a little bit more understanding of what it took to get her through and to get us through as a family.
She sounds like she was a magnificent woman. I want to come forward now to today. So now we're in 2022. You are running for governor. This year, now, what makes you better than anyone else to serve in that role, to serve the Commonwealth that way?
Well, I think that I bring to Tiziana the right experience, the right vision, and the right record of teamwork and getting things done to make life better for people in our state. I've stood by the people of Massachusetts as the people's lawyer, advocating for our rights, protecting our democracy, standing up to the most powerful of interests, whether it was taking on Purdue and the Sacklers, ExxonMobil, the NRA, running an office that I really tried to center from the time I began around this idea of the people's law firm. We're going to be there to serve people. And whether that was helping student borrowers just crushed by debt, workers who needed protection from having their wages stolen, or workplace safety conditions, tenants, immigrants, consumers. I mean, these are the people that my team and I have served in the past 7 years. I've also come to know this state, all its cities and towns and its regions and its needs. And I make this run, and I am excited about this run, because I see, even in these really hard and challenging times where so much has been revealed, disparities that have existed forever have been exacerbated, I see this tremendous opportunity to grow and build in ways that we have not yet even imagined. We have incredible potential here in this state.
So with that potential in mind, you're talking about mm-hmm. being in the cities and towns. Two mm-hmm. pain points you've seen, and two opportunities for greatness that you've seen that will be on your initial agenda if you win and become governor.
Well, you know, I think people should know one thing I'm most proud of as Attorney General is we put an equity lens on everything that we do, everything that runs through the office, whether it's consumer work, financial services, the environment, healthcare, everything is looked at through an equity lens. So you asked about a couple of pain points. You know, one, I think, is the pain point of COVID and the disparities that we've seen, not just in healthcare, right, but also the things that lead to some of those disparities. For example, I remember back several months ago, I was out in Springfield. Why? Springfield is the asthma capital of the country, sadly enough. A lot of kids end up going to the emergency room there with asthma. And my team and I were out there because we use settlement funds to buy air filters that would monitor the air quality within Springfield so that parents and moms could be warned about what was happening, and also so that public health actions could be taken to address those issues. And, you know, you see a problem, you see an issue, you also see potential solutions. And right now, you know, we're working with the Yale School of Public Health on addressing some of that.
So let's stop with that, because that's such a great mm-hmm. example. And you've just laid out, so we've got this pain point of asthma in Springfield, clearly can be exacerbated by COVID, something the Attorney General can do. If you're governor, what's something that the governor can uniquely do to address that pain point?
Oh, so much. You know, you're right. I mean, I've been into these issues as I can through my role as Attorney General. But, you know, you think about building out a plan of true climate resilience. You think about a plan where we are going to get our state agencies working closely with communities, particularly communities that have been the victims of injustice and environmental justice, systemic racism for so long. You think about the levers that you can use within those agencies to assist and empower communities to address those disparities. Also, Tiziana, we're in a unique time. We have never seen so much coming into the state in terms of funding as we do right now. I think there is an incredible opportunity to deploy that and think about it, particularly when it comes to climate. And I have said that I will be the most aggressive and thoughtful and innovative governor harnessing all the levers when it comes to combating the climate crisis right now.
So
I've also talked about the economic imperative and opportunity that provides, not just for jobs, but also with the kinds of, if you think about the research that's happening in this state that we can use to harness the movement there. When you think about the manufacturing that's possible inland when it comes to supporting our offshore wind industry, it's tremendously exciting. And back to the issue of disparity, you know, I am a person that became Chief of the Civil Rights Division in the Attorney General's office for a reason. Equity is at the center of my work and focus, and I think there is tremendous capacity to build out new and different ways of doing things across all realms in government that are going to make a meaningful difference in people's lives.
So I feel like there
allow everyone to thrive.
I feel like there, and excuse me for interrupting. I got a lot I want to cover.
I have a tendency to talk on because I'm so excited about. what we could do.
So I feel like you've given us a look at a couple of pain points there. You've given us a look at a couple of opportunities. I want to shift into the horse race a little bit. You, in your On the Record interview over the weekend, said clearly you don't believe in the curse of the attorney general or you wouldn't be running. We have had a number of attorneys general who have had the Democratic nomination and not one. Last month, we spoke with Scott Harshbarger, who had that particular profile, and he talked a little bit about the challenges that AGs face as gubernatorial candidates. Here he is.
When you're looking for governor, you are looking for something broader, something more human, if you will. You have to listen to this person for several years, and you're not always sure you want somebody up there who, if his attorney general maybe was lecturing you.
What is something that you have heard from voters that is telling you this is a place that I need to pivot in my armor, in my approach, in my communication, whatever it is, to be a successful governor versus what it took to be excellent as an attorney general?
You know, I don't know that I have to change at all, nor has anybody really talked to me about that. I mean, for better or worse, the voters are going to make a decision whether they want to essentially hire me based on who I am, what I've done, and what I say I will do. I honestly have tried to run the office and have had this role as attorney general really centered around people and the human condition. And, you know, I've talked a lot about the need right now as we go forward to tackle the high cost of living that is crushing families, whether, you know, it comes to childcare or healthcare or transportation or groceries. These are things, though, Tiziana, that, you know, I actually thought a lot about and we did work on as attorney general, because it was always about what do we need to do to improve the health and well-being of residents and families and communities in our state. I think the proof of that and how it resonates is that and the work and credit to my team, you know, credit to the outstanding men and women in the office who have done the work over the last 7 years. But when I announced 2 weeks ago today over the rainy cold in Eastie at Maverick Station, that night I held a call for volunteers and I had 350 people from around the state call in and say, sign me up. I want to help get signatures. I want to help with caucuses, which excitingly start this weekend. So I want to be on this team. And I think that's a reflection of an appreciation of the record and what I bring to this race and how people view me in terms of my capacity to lead going forward as governor.
So let's jump in there and that energy and the things people are excited about. You know, you'll appeal in a primary to a group and then in the general election, it's a bigger group. Lisa Kaczynski of Political argued earlier this week that you are working hard to paint yourself as a moderate. And recent MassInc polling says that roughly 45% of all voters surveyed, regardless of affiliation, want somebody who's quote unquote about the same as Charlie Baker. Are you a moderate? You've gained a lot of popularity as a real progressive in this state. Do you see yourself as having a moderate agenda?
I am a proud progressive, and I am incredibly proud of my record. I mean, look, I was the one that challenged and successfully defeated the Defense of Marriage Act. I brought cases against big banks, first of its kind, civil rights claims for their discriminatory practices back in the day of the mortgage meltdown in 2008. I mean, the work that I've done, I am very, very proud of my progressive record. And, you know, I understand that there are those who want to ascribe labels to me. Frankly, I don't know that voters or ordinary people care much about labels. They care about who you are and what you're going to do. And, you know, for me, I'm not trying to do anything other than speak to what I see as the real issues and the real concerns that voters have. And they are looking to our next governor to do something about. That is why you hear me talking about childcare and a system right now that does not work for enough families. A reason that so many women have left the workforce and are not returning. Remember, we're at our lowest rate in women's workforce participation in the workplace since Ronald Reagan, is because of childcare. So it's about childcare. It's about the cost of healthcare. It's about building out the infrastructure in our communities. I mean, people actually do really care about what's happening in terms of bridges and roads. They care a lot about climate and an aggressive vision for the future. The high cost of living that they're confronting now. I mean, these are things, Tiziana, I'm talking about, recognizing that these are the issues that the vast majority of voters in our state are really thinking through right now. Remember, there is tremendous, fallout from COVID, and we're still in the midst of this pandemic. I understand. You think about, and I'm somebody who's always prioritized mental health, behavioral health. Those needs have only grown significantly in the last couple of years. And, you know, it's another area where our next governor needs to make even stronger investments. So
I'm going to jump
just
in there.
Speak to people where and meet people where they are, listen as I did before, and learn from that and go forward with a vision for the future.
All right. I'm going to jump in there. And I'm going to note right now, so much more I'd like to talk to you about. I hope you'll come back soon and talk with us more.
I hope you have me.
Yeah, that's great. Let's end with just a fun little lightning round, maybe just three questions. Favorite band?
Favorite band? Too many to name.
Laundry or dishes?
I like doing both.
And iced coffee in the winter, yes or no?
Absolutely not. I need my hot steaming cup.
I am with you. All right. That is Attorney General Maura Healey, who is running for governor of Massachusetts. Madam Attorney General, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you. Take good care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks joins us now. Anthony, reactions to what you just heard from Attorney General Maura Healey?
Hi, Tiziana. Good to be with you. Well, reactions. You know, I think I'm struck by what I already knew about Maura Healey. She's good at retail politics. She comes across as a real person. I've interviewed her many times over the years, and that's what always comes through with her. You know, you may disagree with her politics, but she comes across as pretty authentic, pretty rooted, and she does retail politics really well. And that's an important asset for any politician. So if you add that to the millions that she has in her campaign account, she's got name recognition across the state. A recent poll finds her well ahead of the other two Democrats in the race, puts her in a pretty good position right now. I want to stress right now. But yeah, I think that was my major takeaway from your excellent interview with her.
Thank you. And you heard me ask her about this progressive versus moderate, Anthony. You talked about a recent poll, numbers from a poll that Policy for Progress had Mass Inc. polling do, really do show 50% of Democratic voters want somebody, you know, sort of in the Charlie Baker lane, 45% of voters overall. But she said, you know, nuh-uh, I am a serious progressive. Is the moderate lane kind of wide open among the candidates who have currently declared?
Well, I think we heard her embrace pretty wholeheartedly the progressive label. And I think that's going to stand her in pretty good stead in terms of going after the nomination. She's running against Danielle Allen, a Harvard professor, and State Senator Sonia Chang Diaz, the other two major Democrats in the race. My guess is they will probably try to run to the left of Maura Healey to distinguish themselves. So I don't think Healey has to worry about not being moderate enough to capture the Democratic nomination. The poll was striking that, you know, even most Democrats say they want a governor as moderate as Charlie Baker. But Maura Healey has embraced a bunch of issues that I think resonate pretty well with Massachusetts voters. I mean, for example, she mentioned going up against challenging the Defense of Marriage Act. Don't forget, she was also the attorney general who repeatedly sued President Trump's administration. She launched more than 100 suits. She challenged the previous administration on everything from the family separation policy to lax enforcement of environmental protection to failure to protect student lenders from fraud. I think those are all good issues, especially in a state that voted 2-1 against Donald Trump. That's a pretty good set of feathers to have in your cap, I guess.
So I'm glad you brought up both the Trump administration lawsuits and the voting history here when it comes to Donald Trump. It raises the GOP side of the race right now. Tell us about the two candidates and how they come up against that moderate middle that voters are looking for.
Well, Jeff Diehl, he is a former state rep from Whitman. He was also co-chair of the Trump campaign back in 2016 in Massachusetts. And he has really embraced pro-Trump positions, even more so than a few years ago. And so he's really staked out that lane. the sort of Trump lane within the state GOP. And right now he's in a pretty good position to make a good run for the Republican nomination. Chris Doughty is a moderate, self-described moderate businessman from Massachusetts who wants to try to occupy that Charlie Baker lane and go for the nomination. The problem is in the Republican Party is dominated by that Trump wing of the party. So it's going to be an uphill battle for Doughty. I called him Doughty. His name is Doughty, by the way. That's going to be a tough row for Doughty to hoe. But that is the dynamic there on the Republican side of this race.
So early days, but what are you watching most closely?
Well, two things. I mean, one, can Chris Doughty, you know, really stake out a credible challenge against Jeff Diehl? I think that's going to be interesting to watch. And conversely, on the Democratic side, can the other two Democrats, Harvard professor Danielle Allen and Sonia Chang Diaz, can they catch fire, grow their support, and wage a race against Healey, sort of in the same way that Deval Patrick did in 2006 against former Attorney General Tom Riley, right? He ran like Healey as an Attorney General. He was one of the four previous attorney generals who did not become governor. Deval Patrick kind of came out of nowhere, ran this terrific grassroots campaign, and really caught the imagination of Massachusetts voters. That's the challenge for Sonia Chang Diaz and Danielle Allen. It'll be interesting to watch if something like that takes shape.
All right.
In the months ahead.
WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks, thanks for today. And I know you are hosting Radio Boston the next couple of times while I'm away. Have a blast.
I will look forward to it.
Thanks a lot, Anthony.